Welcome to the Marketing Your Practice podcast, where we help natural health practitioners and wellness experts build profitable, predictable, and enjoyable practices. Each week, we share simple, effective, easily actionable, and proven heart-centered marketing strategies. And now your hosts, Dr. Angus Pike and Dr. Tony Rose.
Welcome to the Marketing Your Practice show, here with Angus and Tony from Adio Media. Wherever you're watching us, looking at us, listening to us, great to be with you. G'day, mate.
Hello, buddy. Whichever the funnels that you're in. So I think, like I said last time, I like to imagine there's at least one person walking their dog at the moment, having a listen to us also. So we've just come off a really super successful social media summit. That was great. We had a bunch of really terrific feedback about that too. So if you missed that one, you can head on over to adiomedia.com and check out there too. You can then buy the recordings of the whole social media summit. So 10 extraordinary interviews there where we dived deep into. Social media is one of those things that can confuse a lot of us. It's easy to go into overwhelm. We get emails on a weekly basis. Like, how do we make this work? Does it actually work? Or is this just a massive time waster? So if you're interested in finding out more about that, then head on over to adiomedia.com. And if you have a search under, I think, is it our products?
Something like that. Have a look.
Anyway, it should You'll be up there it. By the time that you get there. So today's conversation, we're going to pivot a little bit from that too. And we're going to jump a little bit higher up to a 40,000 foot view. I'm going to talk through a concept that Tony and I have been working on a lot recently, understanding these kind of pillars to practice. So we're going to talk about the four P's to practice as well, or a thriving practice. So, you know, to have a practice, all you've got to do is really open the doors. But when we talk about a thriving practice, we like to think about this concept of a practice of choice rather than obligation. You know, see the volume of people that you want to see. Do you want to work 5.5, 6 days, then work it? But it's not about you feeling obliged you have to. It's really having a practice that works on your rules. So it's profitable, it's predictable, it's sustainable, and it's enjoyable as well. So we feel there's kind of four pillars, there's four ingredients that kind of work our way into that. And we'll be talking lots about them as we're moving forwards, you know, whether you're watching us on Facebook or listening to this on the podcast. It'll be a real theme of what we talk about, these pillars as well, in terms of the same way many of us approach our practice with our patients very holistically. We need to look at the practice, you know, whether you're a chiropractor or a naturopath, Chinese med, regardless of what sort of practice, we think these four P's are where it's at. So, Tom, why don't you kick off onto P number one?
Well, P number one is purpose, which can be a little bit daunting or a little bit can freak some people out when we talk purpose, but it doesn't have to be. What this is your why. Why are you in business? Why are you in practice? Why are you the healer, the practitioner that you are? What stimulated that? What gets you up out of bed every day to go to practice, to lay your hands or do your amazing work? And that comes down to purpose. But I think, buddy, there's a lot of, you know, it can get a little airy-fairy, or people can think it's getting a little bit airy-fairy about working out your purpose, or, you know, always being driven by your purpose. So it was really interesting. I had a great chat with Marcus Pierce the other day about purpose, you know, and he's a very practical guy. Don't get me up in the clouds. Just, what do I need to do? And he just simply says, you know, your purpose is, it's just what you love to do. What do you love to do? And so, pretty simple concept, really. That whole concept of loving what you do, do what you love what you do, that sort of thing. So, but really, we need to have a rock solid foundation of purpose, because that's going to drive a whole lot of everything else we do in practice. Otherwise, it ends up being a bit of a gobbledygook of systems and procedures that don't actually make a whole lot of sense, nothing that's driving them in the right direction. So, yeah, first P, purpose.
I think, you know, on that too, because it's that idea and that concept around purpose is something that I've struggled with. You'll see people on the stage, you'll read books, you hear of Mother Teresa-like purposes there as well. And sometimes there would be a sense of inadequacy in me, like, why do I not have that same kind of drive there as well? So a couple of things, if you feel this way too, things that have really worked with me, in particular over the last 10 years too, is understand that purpose is, it's a growth, and it will continue to expand. It's a better word for me to use there too. It's not set in stone. So what you see is the purpose of your practice now. It will continue to evolve. So don't think just because you take some time and sit down and elaborate what your purpose is, why your practice exists, that it has to stay that way. But you do, in essence, what we're asking is, why should I come and see you as opposed to go and see the person down the road? Now, this can be a really tricky thing to think about. Like, what? Why are you opening this practice? What is it about? Well, you know, when you decided that you wanted to be a, you know, in my case, a chiropractor, what was part of that initial vision there that you wanted to do? And why did you choose to do that as opposed to another profession as well? So, you know, this is the kind of thing, when we find and we meet somebody with purpose, it's incredibly attractive. You know, Simon Sinek has made a hell of a career in talking about, you know, beginning with your why. So it doesn't have to be life-changing, but, you know, why do you exist? And nor, you know, it's all about you. So if your purpose with a chiropractic practice might be to help raise drug-free families, but it could also be, too, that you want to try and minimize the number of people in your community that are living with back pain. You know, so the purpose, they're all, it's not about what I think is valid and important or what Tony is, it's what will drive you as well. So we can, there's a tendency to bypass this and not look at, because it is a bit of heavy lifting. But if we want to practice, if I come back to him and said, what's the prize here? The prize for doing this work is a profitable, predictable, sustainable and enjoyable practice, where you're the one that is setting the rules, where it's a practice of choice, not of obligation too. So it does require some work. Don't get stuck too much in it, but take some time to think about it. Think about that document as something that evolves with time as well. So, yeah, purpose.
Purpose. That's the pillar number one. Pillar number two.
Profitability. I don't know why it is. I wrote a little while ago an email out to you guys there that I talked about. It seems so much, particularly for us that are within the, you know, I'm not a big fan of this word, alternate health, natural health, that kind of stuff. There's healthcare, full stop. But we tend to have taken this vow of poverty. That it's not okay that I be making a good living. Heck, it's not okay if I am super wealthy there as well. I remember there were times early on in the in practice there too, when I was going to buy a new car, that part of my decision in buying a new car would be, well, what would my patients accept me driving in? And this is really, really common. We don't raise our fees. We don't want to set a standard here that, you know what, I have a really profitable, abundant lifestyle, and that, you know what, I provide great service to my community. So, you know what, it would make sense that I be handsomely paid. So there needs to be, again, when we talk about some heavy lifting, there needs to be a little bit of thinking about that too, in terms of, what are my relationships with money? How do I feel about in terms of deserving with that? Is it okay for me be wealthy? Is it okay for me to charge as well? You know, and some of us, in, you know, certainly in Australia here, there's a significant amount of healthcare that's for free. You know, we have Medicare that pays for it, but when they come and see me as a chiropractor, people have to pay out of their pockets. And so how do you feel about that? Is your care worthy? And, you know, sometimes that's about thinking about the changes that it makes. The story, and I haven't talked with you about this for a long time, and I'd be interested to see if you actually even remember this, because this is when we were sharing a house together 18 years ago and you were working at Middle Park. And there was a family that came along, or a woman that came in for an assessment, maybe to a workshop or something like that too, went, wow, this chiropractic thing's amazing. I want to bring my whole family in, got a look at what the prices was, and kind of disappeared. And then came back a few weeks later after having done a garage sale.
Yeah, they had a garage sale, sold half their household goods to pay for their care.
Yeah, came back in with cash and said, this is a vision that I really like for our family, and here's the money. And, you know, it would have been really easy to go, look, young family, can't afford the care. Was it a single mum even, or am I making that?
No, it was a family. Yeah, mum, dad, and you know, two or three kids, I think.
Yeah. So when we provide value, when we're certainty in around it too, then that kind of shows through as well. So, but in underneath this idea of profitability, we need to have systems in around attracting new patients, and then, of course, systems in around retaining patients as well. So,
yeah, on that framing, I think I come back, excuse me, a lot to our good friend Stephen Franson, Dr. Stephen Franson, who put it like this. He says, if what you're doing is of great value to the community, then when business is good, everyone wins. And so we need to look at this and say, look, we're giving amazing service, changing lives, getting people healthier, keeping them healthier. So how's that a bad thing? So, you know, when business is good, everyone wins. It's it's a win-win-win.
So there needs to be that a little level, because underneath profitability too are layers of confidence and certainty in what you do. and spending some time diving into the research and understanding that, you know, certainly for me as a chiropractor, and many of you listening are chiropractors, you know, the number of people that die here in Australia because of side effects of opioid pain medication is outrageous. You know, prescription drugs is killing way more people than recreational drugs. And that's part of my why. You know, that's part of having dealt with people that have got on that merry-go-round of, you know, the OxyContins, the oxycodones, been down surgery, all that kind of stuff there too, is enough to kind of get me going to go, you know what, my care is damn valuable. And you know what, and it's worth paying for because I change people's lives. Mm. That's a matter of me understanding what the research says. That's a matter of me having confidence as well. But also, I don't want to get all airy and fairy and say, just because you're a health practitioner, therefore you're doing the world good. You know, we talk about this concept of, you know, before you should start marketing, and we'll talk about marketing because it comes under this in a moment there too. If you don't have confidence and certainty in what you do, if you don't have a product that changes people's lives, start there first. Like, that's the beginning part of...
Get good at what you do.
Profitability.
Yeah.
You know, of course, I'm hoping that inside of you, if you don't have confidence and certainty, if you're not good at what you do, that when you're looking at somebody and asking for money, then you should feel squirmish about it.
You know, absolutely.
It's called conscience.
Yeah, it's called...
So,
yep.
You know,
it's called not being an asshole.
Yes. So it's get good at what you do. Understand that profitability is okay. And then systematize it. Because once we get into that, then finding a health practitioner across, you know, finding a small business person that actually invests time, money and knowledge into marketing is rarer than hen's teeth. We don't do it again because, okay, we get over, you know, it's sleazy for me to be doing that as well. You know, but when you look at, Drucker, one of the great kind of management experts, says the most important parts of any business are marketing and innovation. That's it. Marketing and innovation, that's where all your effort, and we go, oh, hang on, what about the adjusting of the spine? You go, well, there'll be no adjusting of the spine if you're not constantly innovating. Innovation might just be change of hours, change of fee structure, you know, shifting the office around. Can you deliver things in new ways? Are there better ways to structure stuff there too? Mm. And marketing, which is driving people into us. We can't fall for that old idea of build it and they will come. So
yep.
That's profitability.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Yep. Needs to be a big focus and is often not. So the third P is productivity. Because if we're going to have this great purpose and then we're going to have systems set up to make our business profitable, to attract and retain our patient base, we got to get some stuff done. So productivity is, or what we term, getting shit done. And, you know, certainly Angus and I with Adiometer, we pride ourselves on getting stuff done and productivity. And there's a few little, I guess, for us, the things that we do that can perhaps help. Another P actually, procrastination, which poisons profit. Mm-hmm. And so there's some more P's that come under that productivity, but we've got to get stuff done. But we've got to get stuff done that's efficient and effective, but we don't necessarily have to be doing it ourselves as practitioners. We can be delegating a lot of that stuff to get the necessary things done so that we can have that thriving practice that we all want.
I've been thinking yesterday, I've been talking a little bit about some work I've been doing with a guy, I'm doing some coaching at the moment, the guy by the name of Jim Fortin. And Jim does a lot of headspace kind of stuff. And the module I've just finished in this last week is about integrity and integrity of word. And I wonder if a fair bit of, you know, just productivity is, you know, when you commit to getting something done, that just following that through, like it is our word that speaks things into existence. And so this week I've been really thinking about, you know, I get up in the morning and one of my, you know, there's a weekly process for me to think about what will this week look like for it to be a win? What needs to get ticked off from there? And then I break that down into a daily process. And I've realized that, you know, sometimes I'll stick through to that. And when I do, you know, shit gets done. And when I don't, obviously, it doesn't. But that's really a matter of, this is not, we can talk about strategies, hey, don't be checking your emails and turn off your distractions. And in future videos and podcasts like this, I'll kind of share what really works for me as far as my recipes for getting stuff done. But I really think some of it too is just a level of integrity to self, and whether it be to, you know, to you, if I'm telling you, hey man, this week I've got to get this done, and my expectations of you the same kind of way there too. So, you know, you need to have a system of, you know, what are you wasting time on? I'm on a self-imposed ban of television this week. It's what it's meant. And I've hopped into bed each night and I've had 90 minutes of reading. I'm like, whoa, you know, halfway through a book in the last two nights that is terrific because I'm not sitting down. In essence, for me in particular, and I wonder if it's like this for you guys too, when I would sit down for television in the evening, I would tell myself it's to chill out. It wasn't to chill out, it was to sedate. Mm. This is something I learned from Garrett White and, Wake Up Warrior. You know, some people will sedate with alcohol, some will sedate with drugs, some will sedate with food, but we can equally sedate just with television as well. And so again, you know, pushing away from that, you know, how much television are you watching? Are you wasting time on social media? You know, what are you doing? Can you take these apps off your phone? Those kind of things there too. Mm. So you need to have a system to say, how am I getting stuff done? You know, Elon Musk, who runs multiple companies doing amazing things, has no more time than you and I do, but he seems to get a lot of stuff done as well.
Yeah, it's amazing, isn't it? We've had a big week and we've been working beaverishly away on this productivity, getting some stuff done as we change things here at Adiometer as well. And it has been interesting, isn't it? You stop that television and you can just get stuff done. So think about what you're getting done. And as you said, you know, are you not being in integrity with yourself by saying you'll do something but then not following through? So important. And I guess it's that thing of, you know, if you tell yourself a little lie and you don't follow through on that little thing, then it's easier to not follow through on a bigger thing. Oh, I'll go for a walk this morning. Mm-hmm. You don't go for the walk. Well, makes the next lie easier to deal with. So, yeah, it's a good point.
It's interesting because then, you know, what I'm realizing through this coaching with Jim is exactly that, is that we speak ourselves into existence. So when we give ourselves little promises, which might be, hey, I'm going to go for a walk today, and you don't do it, what you're telling yourself is that what I say doesn't matter.
Yes.
And because we do this too, because if you have a work colleague, a friend who says, hey, I'll get this to you today, and they don't, then in the back of your mind, you go, oh, I get it, yeah, that person often doesn't follow through. So we create a picture in our mind of who this person is. You know, they're untrustworthy, they don't follow through, or, you know, they're not accountable. But the same thing I'm really realizing is happening with me. And it's been very interesting to, and I would ask that you perhaps do the same thing too. Early on this week, I had a day where I really focused on my inner dialogue of what am I telling myself I'm going to do today? And then to fight to, you know, come up with excuses why that might. Now, of course, there are going to be times when you make a commitment to someone and things come up. But that happens. And then I guess it's about recognizing it, acknowledging it. Why did that come up? You know, sometimes stuff happens and deadlines don't get met from there too. But what I was realizing more than not is I was doing exactly as you said before. I would make these mini agreements for myself and I would not follow through with them and I'd justify them with shitty reasons afterwards. Yep. As well. So productivity, I reckon productivity is first and foremost about self-integrity. And then again, most of you know the things that you should be doing in terms of, you know, stop wasting time on things that don't add towards, you know, you living this life of choice rather than obligation also. So our final P is all about performance. So, you know, we've talked about purpose and why, we've talked about profitability and the systems to have that and productivity. Performance, what we mean by that is that you need to have the energy to pull all of this stuff off. So if I'm going to live a big life, I need to be abundantly energetic in order to make it happen. If I'm going to focus my time at work and see people and be present with them, okay, then my energy, my vibe, my well-being is incredibly important. And I've got to tell you, having been, you know, the irony doesn't escape me of having been a chiropractor of somebody who had to take 6 months off because of back pain. You know, searing, you know, two numb legs for 2 years that I finally said, I'm out of balance here. I need to take some holidays. I need to get things back on track. But it's not a rare occurrence. The health of so many healthcare practitioners is not great. And mostly because we burn ourselves the heck out as well. So, you know, what kind of job are you doing? And, you know, the breaking point for me with regards to that too is I sat down one day and I said, what would I tell myself if I were my patient? You know, I knew really clearly that each day I'd come along and adjust people, you know, I'd virtually have to crawl home and lie on the couch because the pain got worse. You know, that was a bricky's labourer, I was a hairdresser, I would just say to them, you know what, flat out, you're in the wrong job for the moment. You need some. And it was not till I had that conversation with myself. You know, I was doing everything other than getting away from the thing that, which was bending over, adjusting lots of people, lifting and pushing around tables and stuff like that too. I was trying every other angle other than that one too. So you need to take a look at, you know, you being having a huge why, a brilliantly profitable practice that you love. You know, you're getting loads of stuff done. But you know what? If your health is really poor, then, you know, I think I like that concept that, you know, the first wealth is health. We say that to our patients all the time, but we don't listen to ourselves.
It is too true. There are a lot of unhealthy health practitioners out there, and it's a real shame, you know. And I think some of it comes from this kind of this inner thing, want and need to give. We give to others so much. We even, you know, innately want to do that with you guys, you know. We give, but we've got to give to ourselves. And I think there's a mental barrier there that can look at that as a, I can't do that because therefore I'm not giving to someone else, my children, my patients, my family, my lover, whoever it is. But again, the oxygen mask comes down, apply yours first before fitting your children, that kind of airline line is so true. We need to fill ourselves up so we can be the best versions of ourselves so we can take better care of those people that we love and care about. So get back on board. I'm sure that you've all got things that you were doing that you're no longer doing. Why? Sit down, make a list. And I do this every now and then. I make a list of when I'm on fire or when I'm performing at my best or when I'm succeeding, I'm doing this, 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 this. Right. Currently, how many of those things am I doing? Okay. Wow. Time to get back on board. And so just making a little list like that can be a really simple way to have it in your face, a bit like looking in the mirror.
And we'll dive deeper into the strategies and stuff that work for Tone and I with regards to performance and energy management, because there are some things of 20 years of really dealing with this that kind of help keep us switched on as well. Some of these things might work for you and some of them might not as well. So, you know, the intent and the focus behind this session here is really to have you push back a little bit more globally. You know, it may well be the reason that your practice isn't thriving is because your health isn't thriving. You know, it may well be that the reason that your practice isn't thriving is because you're really poorly organized. And the last thing that you might be saying, hang this, my marketing isn't working. Well, it might be more to it than that. And sometimes we've got to look at things that there's a bit of woo-woo to it too, because if we don't look at this thing holistically, if we don't look at the ecosystem of your practice, if we don't have all four of these P's in a line there too, then the whole system can collapse as well. So, you know, take some time, check in now, run a little kind of, you know, we often kind of think of these as spokes of a wheel. If they were all the same length and balance through there, that wheel would spin really nicely. But when we start to get short on one of them or two of them or even three of them, then you're going to find it's a hell of a bumpy ride there too, and you're going to have a practice that's doing anything but thriving, a practice and a life that's thriving as well. So,
well put.
Done.
Great and conclusion.
As always, thanks so much for all that you do. If you haven't checked out the Social Media Summit, then again, if you're interested in some tactics and strategies in around that profitability side of things, then we think you'll love that too. There's some brilliant sessions there as well. You know, very excited about the likes of Tony Ebel, who shared his strategy and how he uses social media to 30 to 40 new patients every month because he has a strategy, not a tactic.
Yeah.
So we don't want to use things as tactics. We need to have strategy about it too. So anyway, gang, love you guys. Lots. Keep saving lives. We look forward to seeing you next week. Same time, same bat channel. Take care.
See ya.
You've been listening to the Marketing Your Practice podcast, where we help natural health practitioners and wellness experts build profitable, predictable, and enjoyable practices. For more information, please visit www.addiomedia.com.